The following message from Pastor Greg Laurie is made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God.
Hey, I want to hear from you. Would you consider emailing me? You can reach me at greg@harvest.org. Again, that's greg@harvest.org. And you can also make me one of your friends on Facebook and drop me a comment. Are you a prodigal or are you a pig? A prodigal son or a prodigal daughter will always come back home to their father, and a pig will return to its slop, or it will return again to the mud. That's because a pig is a pig.
Believers sometimes realize they've wandered far from the Lord. Pastor Greg Laurie helps us search our hearts so we can find our way back home.
Here's how you know if you're a believer, where you end up.
This is the day.
Become a member of the family of God. You don't get a laminated member ID card. You don't get secret login information for a VIP website. You don't get a souvenir pen or a keychain or coffee mug. So how do you know you're a member? And how can you make sure your membership hasn't lapsed? Well, today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie helps us see where we stand in our relationship with the Lord and make sure we're bona fide members of God's family. It's from the series Quarantine Life.
If you have a Bible, I'd like you to open it up right now or go to the Bible app on your phone or on your tablet and turn to Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 12 to 16. Here are the words of Paul. He says, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and do of his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so I may rejoice in the day of Christ, and I have not run in vain or labored in vain." Paul says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Please note, he did not say work for your salvation. Salvation is a gift from God. We're told over in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and it's not of works, lest any man should boast." Listen, I don't know about you. I know that my sin is forgiven. I know that I will go to heaven when I die. How do I know that? Because I believe the promises of God. I've received the gift from God of eternal life. And if you have not received that gift yet, I'm going to give you an opportunity to receive it for yourself at the end of my message. And you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life. But what does Paul mean then when he says, work out your own salvation? Remember again that the book of Philippians, the epistle to the people there, it's written to Christians. In fact, in the beginning, he calls them saints. He says, you are saints. So these words are written to believers to work out their own salvation. It could better be translated, work it out or carry it out completely or bring it to full completion. You know, there is effort involved in the Christian life. You don't just accept Christ and sit back and do nothing. The Bible tells us that the Christian life is like running a race. We'll talk about that next time. The Christian life is like being in a war. We're in battle. The Christian life is not a playground. It's a battleground. You have to work it out. You have to live it out. You need to continue in this commitment you've made for Christ. In fact, I have actually 5 litmus tests that you can apply in your life to determine whether or not you really are saved, to determine whether or not Christ really lives inside of you. Number one, if you are really saved, you will confess Jesus Christ as Lord. If you are really saved, you will confess Jesus Christ as Lord. 1 John 4:15 says, "He that confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him, and he in God." Number two, if you're really saved, you'll obey God's commands. If you're really saved, you'll obey God's commands. 1 John 5:3 says, "This is love for God, that you obey his commands, and his commands are not burdensome, for everyone that is born of God overcomes the world." Do you find God's word hard to live by? You say, "Oh man, I don't like this and I don't like that." And well, listen, it's not a burden when you understand that these words are put in scripture, and yes, the commandments were put in scripture for your own protection. And that brings me to point number three. If you're really saved, you will be unhappy and miserable when you have sinned. If you're really saved, you'll be unhappy or miserable when you have sinned. 1 John 3:9 says, "Everyone who's been born of God does not habitually sin, because God's seed remains in him, and he's not able habitually to sin." That verse does not say that if you're a child of God, you will not sin, because everyone sins. But there's a difference between sinning and knowing it and being sorry for it, and the person who intentionally sins again and again, and they do it habitually. And the Bible is saying, if you're a child of God, you won't habitually sin. Listen, you won't be sinless, but you will sin less. And you will not be happy after you've sinned, and you'll want to get right with God. Listen, if you want to be an unhappy person, have unconfessed sin in your life. Happiness does not come from sin. Misery, guilt, and repercussions come from sin. That is why the Bible says, "Happy is the man who has been forgiven of his sin." Is it possible to be happy though quarantined? Well, it was possible for Paul. He was chained up to a Roman guard. He couldn't watch Netflix. He couldn't eat queso dip and Oreos or the things that other people are eating right now. He really was living a very restricted life. But the epistle to the believers of Philippi just overflows with joy and happiness and rejoicing. And I want to encourage some of you who maybe are not experiencing this joy or happiness to come back to the Lord. You know, we've seen quite a few people return to the Lord, people that have not darkened the doorway of a church for a long time, but they've come back again and they're making recommitments to Christ. So let me say this to you. If you're a person who has not been in church for a long time, maybe never, but you're with us now, I want to say, welcome back. No, I don't want to beat you down. I want to lift you up and say, welcome back. We're glad that you're here. Maybe you've come to your senses and you've seen the emptiness of life without Jesus Christ. Maybe it's as something as radical as COVID-19 that has been your wake-up call to see that you've taken so many things for granted and you want to return again to the Lord. I hope that you'll do that. Let me ask you a provocative and kind of weird question. Are you a prodigal or are you a pig? Yeah, you heard me right. Are you a prodigal son or daughter, or are you a pig? You decide which one you'll be. You've heard of the prodigal son, that very familiar story that Jesus told in the Gospel of Luke about the boy that ran away from his father and went to a far country and made a mess out of his life and came to his senses and returned home and was welcomed, received, and forgiven by his father. That was the prodigal. A prodigal son or a prodigal daughter will always come back home to their father. Or are you a pig? I don't mean that as an insult. I'm quoting from 2 Peter 2:21. It says, "It would have been better if they had never known the right way to live than to know it and reject God's commandments that were given to them. They make this proverb come true: a dog returns to his vomit and a washed pig returns to the mud." Listen, I know the Bible is true for many reasons. It is the one book that dares to predict the future. It is a book that has no contradictions in it. But here's another reason I know the Bible is true. I've seen a dog return to its own vomit. Kind of gross to watch, actually. But you've seen a dog barf, then eat the barf? That's gross. Why did I say that? It's true. I don't know what's going on in the dog brain. You know, I'd like to have a hot meal now. Brr, here we go. And then people say, "Oh, the mouths of dogs are cleaner than humans." Yeah, they eat their own barf and they drink toilet water. Now they want to lick you in the face, and you're doing a selfie with the dog licking you. Have fun. I'm not going to do that. I don't want to do that at all. But a dog will return to its own vomit, and a pig will return to its slop, or it will return again to the mud. That's because a pig is a pig. You know, people treat animals now like they're little people. It's not uncommon, at least here in California, I don't know about where you live, to see people pushing dogs around in strollers. I'm sorry, but I just think that's wrong. Can we just all agree to not do that ever again? They push dogs around in strollers. They carry dogs with them everywhere. They take dogs on planes. I see so many dogs on planes now, and other animals as well. And, you know, they're feeding the dog from the table and all that. And now pigs are very popular as pets as well. My two granddaughters, Stella and Lucy, have a pet pig. And guess what they named him? No, not Bacon. They named him Sunday. Go figure. So Sunday is a pig, and he sounds like a pig, and he looks like a pig. And I think if he was given the choice, he would like to be back in the mud like a pig. So here's the point of that passage. If you're a prodigal, you'll want to come back to God. But if you're a pig or a dog, you just go back to the way you were living before because you never believed. See, it's not so much the question of, oh, that person that made a profession of faith and fell away. The question is not, did they lose their salvation? Maybe they weren't a Christian to start with. Here's how you know if you're a believer, where you end up. If you end up back in your commitment to Christ, it shows you were merely a prodigal. Listen, not everybody wants to change. There was a man that was disabled. He could not move. And he stayed down by a little body of water, hoping for a miracle. And Jesus walks up to this guy and asks him this question. Do you want to be made whole? What kind of question is that to ask of a person who is obviously very ill? It's a very good question, because not every sick person wants to be healthy. Not every alcoholic wants to be sober. Not every drug addict wants to be off drugs. Not every immoral person wants to change their lifestyle. See, God can offer you forgiveness, but you have to be willing to do your part. And so in that man's case, he did want to be made whole, and Jesus indeed touched and healed him.
Pastor Greg Laurie will have the second half of his message in just a moment. It's a privilege to bring these studies your way, and we're thankful for those who express encouraging words.
Pastor Greg, I have learned so much from you, and I would like to thank you. I didn't realize how little I knew about the Bible until I started listening to you. I have used what I have learned from you to tell others, and have had the opportunity to help bring others to Christ. You are a blessing to me, and I pray God's richest blessings on you and your family. Thank you, Pastor Greg, for all that you do.
When we hear from you, it's not only a blessing, it also confirms that the program is touching lives here in this community. You can leave a message for Pastor Greg. Call 1-866-871-1144. Again, that's 866-871-1144. Well, Pastor Greg is offering a number of characteristics of people who truly belong to the Lord. We're checking up on ourselves today in the message, We Can Work It Out. Let's continue.
Here's point number four. If you want to know if you're saved or not, did you keep yourself from the evil one or from the devil? 1 John 5:18 says, we know whoever is born of God does not sin, and he who has been born of God keeps himself from the wicked one, and the wicked one does not touch him. So to keep himself means you stay as far away from evil as you possibly can. Listen, I don't keep myself saved, but I can keep myself safe. I can avoid relationships, I can avoid environments, I can avoid situations where I know that I'm vulnerable and I know I could sin. And so if you're really a child of God, you'll want to stay away from ungodly influences. But having said that, if you're really a child of God, you'll want to be around godly influences because you will love Christians, your fellow believers. That's point number five. If you're really saved, you will love other Christians. 1 John 5:1 says, everyone that believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. You know, since we've been online exclusively, some have asked, well, can this take the place of the local church? Maybe I want to just keep worshiping online and I don't want to go back to a church building again. Well, I hope that's not the case, because we are told over in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 35, to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but rather to encourage and exhort one another, and do it daily, because the Lord is coming back again. Here's the key now, in conclusion, to working out your own salvation. It's found there in Philippians 2, verse 13, where Paul says, it is God that works in you both to will and do of his good pleasure. It is God. I can't do this on my own, but it's God working through me. The Bible says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Listen, it's not hard to be a Christian, friend. It's impossible without the help and power of the Holy Spirit. Apart from Christ, I can't do it. But then Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So work out, carry to the goal, fully complete, discover your own salvation with fear and trembling, meaning with reverence for God and self-distrust. Carry it to the goal, for it is God that works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And this is what we're all seeking to do. And then Paul also mentions here, then you will shine as a light in this perverse world. Our world is dark. People are scared. People are desperate. But we want to shine the light of Jesus Christ and let them know that there is a God in heaven who loves them. I think you will find a lot of opportunities to tell others about Jesus, because people are wondering what they should do. People are worried. People are anxious. I've read that the suicide rate is going up right now. There's great mental health issues that people are grappling with, and the use of alcohol and drugs. All of these things are up. People don't know where to turn. Listen, the answer is you turn to Jesus Christ. Let me tell you a story about Paul, who wrote this epistle, and his buddy Silas. They were preaching the gospel and they were arrested. And they were thrown into a Roman jail. It was like a dungeon. It was a hellhole. It was far worse than what Paul was facing here when he wrote to the believers in Philippi, where he was under house arrest. This time, his back was torn open with a Roman whip, and his legs were fastened into stocks. And the Bible says this jailer who beat them and whipped them was especially cruel. But then we read this great verse. At midnight, Paul and Silas began to sing praises to God. You know, it's one thing to sing God's praises when the sun's out and the birds are singing. It's another thing to sing the praises of God in the middle of the night or when you're going through a hardship like Paul and Silas. So we read, at midnight they sang praises to God. And then we read this verse, and the other prisoners heard them. And that phrase heard could be translated, listened with pleasure. Have you ever heard a song come on the radio that's one of your favorites? You turn it up. These guys were listening with pleasure. I don't know if Paul and Silas were doing two-part harmonies or what, but they were listening, and then an earthquake came. An earthquake came and shook the walls of that prison, and the walls collapsed, and the jailer who was in charge was ready to kill himself, because he knew the penalty for losing prisoners was death for him and even his family. He was getting ready to kill himself with that Roman short sword, and Paul says, stop. Don't take your life. We're all here still. And that man who had been so cruel said to Paul, what must I do to be saved? Oh, that's a big question. What must you do to be saved? Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And that goes to your household too. So you might be wondering, okay, I don't even know if I'm saved, as you say. I don't know with certainty that I'll go to heaven when I die. I don't have this happiness you've been talking about. I don't have this peace in the midst of a storm. I'm freaked out. I'm scared. I'm agitated. Well, here's what you need to do. You need to call out to God. The Bible says, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. You call out to him. If you were out in the ocean and you were in trouble and you saw a lifeguard and you wanted to be rescued, they can't read your mind. Call out to them and say, help. And you need to do the same to the Lord. He can save you. He can forgive you. He can remove all of your guilt that you've been carrying throughout all of your life. And he can come and take residence in your heart where you can know with certainty that you will go to heaven when you die. Let me close with that thought. What if this were your last day or night on planet Earth? What if tomorrow you would enter eternity? Would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? Yes, there is a hell. And it was not made for people. It was created for the devil and his angels, according to Jesus. The last thing that God wants is for any man or woman made in his image to spend eternity separated from him in hell. That's why Jesus died on the cross for you. He paid the price for every sin you have ever committed. He came to pay a debt he did not owe, because you owed a debt you could not pay. But then 3 days later, Jesus Christ, who died on that cross, rose again from the dead. And now he stands at the door of your life and he knocks and he says, if you'll hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. Your life can change. He's just a prayer away. So listen, if you want Christ to come into your life, if you want to know that you'll go to heaven when you die, if you want your guilt taken away, or if you've fallen away from the Lord like a prodigal son or daughter, and you want to come back to him, pray this prayer with me right now. You can pray it out loud if you like. You can pray it silently, but pray with me right now. Let's pray. Pray these words. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, but I know you're the Savior who died on the cross for my sin and rose again from the dead. I turn from my sin. I'm sorry for it. And I ask you to come into my life now, from this moment forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
An important prayer from Pastor Greg Laurie as he's speaking with those who are making a decision for the Lord today. And if you've made that change, we'd like to help you as you begin to walk with the Lord. Let us send you our New Believer's Growth Packet. Just ask for it as you write A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or when you call us at 1-800-821-3300. Again, 1-800-821-3300. Or just go online to harvest.org and click the words Know God. Now, the title of today's study is We Can Work It Out. Look for that title at harvest.org if you'd like to hear a replay of today's insight, or ask for that title when you call us if you'd like a permanent copy on CD. Our number is 1-800-821-3300. Again, 1-800-821-3300. You know, Pastor Greg, a counselor told me that many people are stressed right now, and some don't even know it. And I said, well, how can someone tell if they're under stress? And she said, if you find your first response to an offense is on a larger scale than the offense itself, then that's stress. So if, let's say, it's a 5-pound offense, but you react with 25 pounds of anger and frustration, then you're probably under stress.
Yeah.
And some people are probably thinking, sounds like something I just did.
Yeah.
Well, if you would, help us find out how we can de-stress our stressed-out lives.
Well, I think when you're under stress, it's kind of like the expression, you know, the straw that breaks a camel's back. A little thing can just blow everything up. Yeah. And because you're already under this intense pressure. And this is why we need to continue to give our problems over to the Lord. You know, the Bible says, cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And that's why I always encourage believers, when they're tempted to worry, turn their worry into a prayer. So let's just say you're just driving along or you're sitting at home sheltering in place and all of a sudden you're just flooded with a bunch of anxiety and worry. Well, turn those things into petitions. Turn your problems into petitions. Turn your worries into worship. Turn your fear into faith. Turn your hopelessness into hope by reminding yourself of what the Bible says. You know, sometimes I just quote the Bible to myself because I forget the promises of God. We all do. This is why Peter wrote in his epistle, I want to stir up your memory about these things. We as Christians need to constantly be reminded of the truths of the Word of God. And I've written a little book that is just out right now, and I want to send to all of our listeners to help them get a biblical perspective, and instead of turning a molehill into a mountain, they can turn their mountain into a molehill, or just get a better view of the power of God in their life and His ability to help them through their difficulties. And this book is simply called Bringing Christ into Your Crisis. You know, you have a crisis, you can face it alone, or you can invite Christ into it. And that's what I'm encouraging people to do, is invite Jesus into your situation. Invite Christ into whatever it is you're facing and ask for His help. So this book, Bringing Christ into Your Crisis, is chock full of verses and biblical truth that I think will help you get a divine perspective on what we're all facing together. And I want to send it to you for free. I just want you to have it. And really, I want you to read it. But if you can support us financially at this critical moment, we'd really appreciate it, because I'll tell you what, we have incredible opportunities before us. And I think we can reach more people in this moment in time than maybe any other time I can remember in my life. So I would really appreciate it if you would not only support us financially, but if you would even become what we call a harvest partner. And that's somebody who supports us every month with a regular gift. Whatever you can do, ask the Lord to give you direction as to what you would want to invest. But if you believe people need to hear the gospel, if you want to see people come to Jesus, well, that's what we're all about here at Harvest Ministries and on this radio broadcast, A New Beginning. So do what you can to support us, and we'll get you your copy of Bringing Christ into Your Crisis quickly.
All right, and let me pass along our contact information. You'll want to contact us right away, as we can only mention this resource a short time longer. And thanks so much for your support. It can impact so many lives here at this critical time. So write A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or call us at 1-800-821-3300. Again, 1-800-821-3300. Or just go online to harvest.org. Well, next time, as Pastor Greg continues his series, Quarantine Life, he helps us see how to run the race of life to win, how to serve Christ, and how to share Christ during this critical moment in time. Be sure to tune in for A New Beginning.
The preceding message from Greg Laurie was made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. Sign up for Pastor Greg's free daily email devotions at harvest.org.